How, why, and when did Satan fall from heaven to the earth? Moses said that it takes two or three witnesses to establish a thing. Our legal system says that it takes beyond a reasonable doubt, which is about an 85% probability of truth, before we move to action. The action that we move to, or our judgment, is not based on absolute certainty. Nevertheless, the action may deprive a man of his life, liberty, or his pursuit of happiness. This is even though there may very well be a 15% probability of error. In a case of extreme consequences, like the death penalty, the move to action may rightly require a 95% probability of truth. Nevertheless, there may still be a 5% probability of error. I believe that our thinking should also be aligned with this criteria. For the Bible says that man will judge the angels. We might as well get some practice in now on this side of eternity. Satan's fall from heaven is symbolically described in Isaiah 14:12-14 and Ezekiel 28:12-18. While these two passages are referring specifically to the kings of Babylon and Tyre, they also reference the spiritual power behind those kings, namely Satan. These passages describe why Satan fell, but they do not specifically say that when the fall occurred, nor do they say where he fell to. What we do know is this: the angels were created before the earth. Job 38:4-7 says, "Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy." Satan, being one of the morning stars, his fall, therefore, must have occurred somewhere after the time that the angels were created and before he attempted Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3:1-14. Satan had to earn the title of the accuser of the brethren. In order to earn that title, there had to be brethren in existence, namely Adam and Eve. Whether Satan's fall occurred hours, days, or years before he attempted Adam and Eve in the garden, Scripture does not specifically say. the scripture does say in Genesis 1:31 that everything was very good at the end of the creation week. So Satan had not fallen yet. Satan did not fall until after the creation week, maybe as long as 100 or so years later. All that we know is Adam was 130 when Seth was born. That is the first date given in Scripture. Before Seth, they had Cain and Abel, but dates were not given. Before he had Cain and Abel, they were removed from the garden. Therefore, it may have been somewhere around 100 years in the garden, after which time Satan may have become jealous of the fellowship that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God. Satan may have observed the relationship for 100 years and said, "Hey, I want them to worship me. I want to rule humanity. I want to walk with them in the garden. I will ascend to the high heavens. I will take over the seat of the Most High. I will. Furthermore, Satan could not have fallen before the creation week because he was spoken about in the book of Ezekiel as being good while in the garden. Ezekiel 28:13-15 goes on to say, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emeralds, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and the pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub covered, and I have said it was so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou has walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the days that thou was created until iniquity was found in thee. He was Lucifer, the good angel or cherub, and he was in the garden. Iniquity was found in Satan in the garden. The Garden of Eden wasn't made until day 6, according to Genesis 1:2. So that shoots the gap theory full of holes right there. The gap period has had much to say of the word replenish in the Genesis 1:28. It's been said that This is referring to the fact that the world had been populated before Genesis 1, and then destroyed and had to be replenished in Genesis 1, 2. Genesis 1, 28 says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." The Hebrew word translated replenish here means to fill or to be full. It does not convey the meaning refilling as some have tried to make it say. This error comes from a faulty understanding of words. Some words with the prefix re do mean to repeat in action, such as the word refill. But replenish does not necessarily mean that something was plenished before and has to be replenished any more than receive means that something was received before and has to be received. Nor does remain mean that something was main and has to remain. Furthermore, re as a prefix is an English and Latin in concept and can be applied to almost any verb in those languages. It is doubtful whether the concept of re, meaning to do again, exists in any other languages, particularly not the Hebrew language, the language of which the text was written. One note of caution is needful because Hebrew, like every language, has its own nuances and ways of saying things that can lead to confusion or misunderstanding when looked at from the perspective of an English or a foreign reader. Hebrew does not operate in the same way that English does in regards to the usage of the words. Furthermore, a synonym for replenish is fill or refill. In Hebrew, there is no difference to fill a glass with water the first time and to refill the glass with water. Likewise, in Hebrew, there is no difference between the word to fulfill a promise the first time and to fulfill the promise the second time, because it is the same word, a synonym, malah. Nevertheless, to fulfill a promise, more likely than not, refers to the first time the action occurred. The point being that the word does not imply a difference between the first time and the subsequent times. Thus, the word does not carry the connotation of a little and incomplete knowledge can do more harm than good when people try to apply it beyond their scope of knowledge. While taking Swahili, I was once trying to modify the language to make it fit my preconceived notion of how to say what I wanted to say. The professor said to me, "You cannot manipulate the language like that." He went on to say that part of the spectrum of knowledge is to recognize your own limitations. I beg you to seek the Lord honestly and continue to love Him with your whole heart. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, this one is called by Him." Many questions that are beyond our human understanding will only be answered when we see Him face to face. This faulty understanding of what the word replenish means is at the heart of all the teachings based on a pre-Adamic civilization. Therefore, I do not think that that teaching is correct. Finally, and maybe most importantly, Romans 5:20 says that there was no death until Adam sinned. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, so that all have sinned." Death came as a result of Adam's sin, not Satan's sin. Before Adam sinned, death did not exist. Particularly, death on a global scale, as indicated by death of a pre-Adamic civilization that Satan ruled over before Genesis 1:2. This again shoots the pre-Adamic civilization theory in the head and kills it dead. Those who say that Satan fell from heaven and wiped out the pre-Adamic civilization, painting death before sin, they have just eliminated the need for Christ to die on the cross. There was no death until sin came into the world. These are the facts, or even self-evident, according to the scripture. God said that everything was good on the sixth day. Satan fell after the sixth day. Satan was in the garden with Adam. there was no death until Adam sinned. Satan fell in the garden with Adam. That was when iniquity was found in Satan. Satan's job was to minister to Adam. Now, it is beyond a reasonable doubt that while performing his regular duties, Satan realized that Adam had a form of authority that he himself did not have. That was unconditional authority. It was the same authority that men associated with the Tower of Babel had. It was the authority to speak to the animals. It was the authority to speak to nature and stop the rain like Elijah until Elijah said otherwise. It was the authority that Joshua had to cause the earth to stand still. It was the authority to speak to nature and have the weather respond to your will. Jesus said, "Peace be still." And it was so. He also said, "The things that I do, you will do also in this world. What manner of a man is this?" Yet Satan's authority is conditional. His authority was upon condition that he was obedient to God's word. When Satan fell, he lost his authority. Yet, with Adam's authority, Satan could come against God and still maintain some of his authority. That is when his plan to acquire Adam's authority took root. The book of Job tells us that at least at that time, Satan still had access to heaven and to the throne of God. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where has you come from?" Satan said, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Apparently, at that time, Satan was still moving in between heaven and earth, speaking to God directly and answering for his activities. At that time, he was defined as the prince of the air, according to Ephesians 2:2. He had not yet fallen to the earth. Rather, he had fallen from grace to the heavenlies. Whether God has discontinued his access to heaven is a matter of debate. So the question still remains, when did Satan fall to earth? Some say that Satan's access to heaven was ended at the death of Christ. Yet, the Bible says that Satan's access to heaven will be ended at in the end times war in heaven in Revelation 12:7, when there will be no longer a place found for him in heaven. That is when he will fall to the earth, and lo, be unto the earth. For the devil will have come down among you. In short, Satan has not yet fallen to the earth. When Satan falls to the earth, his access to heaven will be ended. Satan's access to heaven had not yet ended in Job's day. Likewise, Satan had not yet fallen to the earth. Why did Satan fall from heaven? Satan fell because of pride. He desired to be God, not to be a servant of God. Notice the many I will statements in Isaiah 14. Ezekiel 28 describes Satan as an exceedingly beautiful angel. Satan was likely the highest of all angels, the anointed cherub, the most beautiful of all of God's creations, but he was not content in his position. Instead, Satan desired to be God, to essentially kick God off of his throne and take over the rule of the universe. Satan wanted to be God. And interestingly enough, that is essentially what Satan tempted Adam and Eve with in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 3:5, Satan said, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil." This is an expression of Satan's desire to be like God. Yet, James 2:19 says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble." Pay attention and listen to this. Psalms 8:4-8 says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea." Hebrews 2:5-8 says, "But one in a certain place testify, say, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and indeed hast set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not all things put under him. The actual Hebrew word that was translated angels here is Elohim. This is the dominant word used for God in the Old Testament. This is the only instance in the Old Testament where this Hebrew word was translated angels. This is probably due to the translator's reluctance to say that man was created a little lower than God. But that is exactly what this verse is saying. This word was translated judge once and judges four times, all in reference to physical men. But there are 2,075 verses where this word is translated God in reference to the Lord God Almighty. Therefore, this verse is saying that man was created a little lower than God. What a statement! Thus, here we can see how in the garden, Satan's jealousy of man was to become. He probably considered this as a demotion. Yet, he should not have. He should have wanted God to get all the glory. Anyhow, we have to understand that man was destined to live forever. Thus, with whatever advantages the angels might have had, that too will pass in time. After all, the angels' job was already to minister to men. Furthermore, the Bible says that men would judge the angels. To God be the glory. How did Satan fall from heaven? Actually, a fall is not an accurate description. It would be far more accurate to say that God cast Satan out of heaven. Satan did not fall from heaven. Rather, Satan was pushed. This concludes the facts and the beyond a reasonable doubt of when did Satan fall. Now, we are going to step into the more likely than not of the issue. That is, only a 51% or higher probability of truth. Maybe this is just an hypothesis or theory, which may have a 5% or 10% probability of truth. Ironically, the gap theory, based on what we know according to the scripture, does not even qualify as a valid theory. A fellow brought my attention to the fact that there were no dinosaurs on the ark. He asked me to explain that. To that issue, I responded that there was a time between when Adam sinned and the Ice Age. During that time, Satan may very well have gotten pushed out of heaven to the heavenlies. The Ice Age would fit neatly into that slot of time. Afterwards, the earth may have been made fertile again. Of course, this is just speculation. The scripture does not address this issue. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So let it be.